I'm Sina.
I'm Danielle.
We want to focus on television and movies in particular.
Yes. Disclaimer that we are in no way film experts. A deep, like, dive. Be quiet!
Whoa.
I'm yelling.
Back me up on this one.
Hey, you're listening to
Two Girls Watch TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Two Girls Watch TV. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Sina. Danielle has an intro.
I have an intro, so I'll, you know, rip the Band-Aid off. Today, we are talking about Dune Part 2. And guess who's been in Jersey City?
If you'd say Christopher Walken.
No, not him. No, I would have texted you. I would have texted you if Christopher Walken was in town. No, Timmy Chalamet's been in town.
But that was my next guess.
Yeah, he's been filming the Bob Dylan biopic. So they've basically, the main drag in Jersey City, or one of the main drags in Jersey City, Jersey Avenue, they have been converting all of the businesses and like restaurants in that area to be New York City, basically. I went on my like nighttime walk and I walked past a street that's like more residential, and they had all the cars off the street. They had all the old cars there. So they were filming in that area too. So they've been, Timmy's been in town. He's been filming around.
Timmy's in town, filming around. Sounds like you're going to spew a limerick.
I'm not that lyrically inclined. I'm not that poetic. That's one piece of news. The second piece of news that I saw on the internet, this is a rumor, is that Martin Scorsese wants to direct a biopic for Frank Sinatra.
I saw.
And Leonardo DiCaprio is going to play Frank Sinatra. And then I saw just now that Jennifer Lawrence is going to be Ava Gardner.
I'm going to say something that's mean.
What is it? Are we going to have to watch a 5-hour movie about Frank Sinatra and it's going to ruin Frank Sinatra for us?
Well, not only that, but the range.
Please finish your thought.
Not polished, but it's good, because the range that Leo has is probably equivalent to the range of the 3 to 4 notes that Frank's... Get down! Otis jumped on the couch.
Otis had something to say. He didn't like you. He didn't like you insulting, one, Leonardo DiCaprio, and two, Frank Sinatra.
I'm about to insult Frank Sinatra. Continue. Not really. Frank Sinatra knows he only sang 3 to 4 notes in every song. That's what I was going to say. The range is equivalent.
On both yes. Parties?
Yeah, except one person is aware that it's a small range. And that person's also dead.
Listen.
It's Frank.
Who am I to say anything bad about Leonardo DiCaprio, even though I have...
You started it.
I know I did. I know I started it. I know I started it. I just know that if it does get made, clearly Scorsese is going to cut out 2 seconds and then that's going to be it. It's going to be the longest movie ever. And
probably.
I mean, I feel like he'll be filming in Hoboken for like 25 years. We're being really mean to a lot of like big names. And I feel like people are going to be mad.
You've made a 180 here, because you were like, oh, there's just something about this movie. I just can't put my finger on it. And I'm like, Danielle, it's okay to not like something. And you're like, Leonardo DiCaprio is terrible because he has no range. He plays the same thing in everything. And I'm like, how did we get here?
I found my voice. I don't know. Did I say this in the podcast? I did, when we were talking about Killers of the Flower Moon. That he doesn't really challenge himself at these days, which, like, I get it, but also, I don't know.
I know.
But you also know that they're gonna, like, use the same Irishman CGI and, like, make him younger.
I see. I wasn't on board with that. I kind of wish that they would have got, I mean, we've had this conversation so many times.
At nauseam, we've had this conversation.
I just wish they would have got other actors.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people had that thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's kind of, it's a shame that, because like, if this was 12 years ago and we found out that Scorsese was going to direct a biopic about Frank Sinatra and Leonardo DiCaprio was going to be play Frank, it would have been the most exciting thing.
Now every time they're like, he's like, I'm going to do something, we're all like, oh.
It's just, I don't know. It's just not exciting. And again, we'll see. We'll see if it actually happens. Sorry, I got blood work done this morning and my Band-Aid just like hit the wrong way on my sleeve.
It hit the road, Jack.
It pulled out an arm hair, honestly. Yeah.
I will spare you my blood work conversations.
We are recording.
Yeah. I was going to say, speaking of recycling actors, I have a fun fact for you that I did not know. I don't know if you knew this.
Okay.
But did you know that Christopher Walken was in the original Dune?
I didn't know that.
Okay, so I have a clip.
No joke, I did not know that the original Dune was a thing until maybe this year.
You knew the books were a thing,
though. I knew the books were the thing, okay. A thing, but I didn't know that there were movies from previous. And isn't it like Kyle, I think his last name is McLaughlin? McCallahan? What the hell is his name? You know who I'm talking about.
The director?
No. The actor who plays Paul Atreides in the original or the first round of movies. I think his name is Kyle. It's either McLaughlin or McCallahan, but I low-key think it's McCallahan.
Well, it came out in 1984. I think that's it. I just saw it and it went away. Son of a bitch.
But yeah, I didn't know that that was a thing. But he was in those movies? Christopher Walken?
I have a clip of him.
Okay.
Now I hope I'm not wrong. What then? What the hell is this clip that I got? Did I just make a fool of myself? What the fuck am I watching then?
What did you do?
It says Christopher Walken in Dune.
But not the new Dune, an old Dune?
No, it's super old. It's super old, I can tell.
Is it like an SNL skit?
Oh my God, have I been...
What'd you do?
Have I been duped? Christopher Walken, old Dune. I'm going to type that in. When Christopher Walken was first cast in Dune Part 2, the... Okay, I don't know, but I have this clip here that looks to be pretty fucking real.
Okay. AI is a crazy thing these days, my friend.
That's insane. This was done a year ago, but... Well, that's so disappointing.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna send you this clip and I'm gonna post it in our stories because this is Christopher Walken talking about something else. I just looked up a bunch of Christopher Walken stuff. This clip is so fucking funny.
Is it?
He's like, okay, because I know that we talked, you guys were like, he's a little much, Christopher Walken in this movie, and like, I don't know.
Preface, when she says you guys, she is speaking specifically about Nicholas's and I's reaction after watching this movie.
I see. Fans
don't know. There are people, we're recording this, Christina. Fans
don't, I forgot we were recording.
I could tell you forgot because you... You guys didn't see it. Christina was doing five things at once. She's moving a book pack. The computer's going all over. This is what she does before we record, but in this case, she was just all over the place.
They can't see me. Why do you have to rat me out?
Because it's fun. Because I'm a snitch. Comes with being an only child.
A snitch.
Anyways, yes.
This clip of him, he is so absurd.
Is he?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's hilarious. But it's very different. Like, he's much more tamed in this release of this movie. So maybe that's not a fun fact. Maybe it's not a fact at all.
Okay.
But it was fun.
Send it over. We'll watch it.
I'll post it. I don't know. All right. So currently, you can watch Dune if you feel like paying $24.99 on Apple, Google Play, YouTube, or Amazon Prime, at least during the time that we're recording this podcast.
You could also, it's still playing in movie theaters.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
This movie, I got some facts here. This was released on March 1st.
Are they real facts or are they like my facts where they're not real until we like Google them together?
No.
Why is this here?
A thumbs up just appeared to Christina.
And then every time I go like this, I get fucking balloons.
A peace sign. There you go. There are the balloons. Cue the balloons.
Just the balloon hands.
Zoom is crazy. Okay, so this was released on March 1st. The budget for this movie was $190 million.
But,
As of this morning, the box office gross was $685 million.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. So I put this in because there are no awards yet, but no doubt there will be, especially because wasn't it the Golden Globes just introduced like the box office award? Like the box office movie achievement award.
I'm interested to see if that award goes away because I really think that they just made that for Barbie.
And like to have Taylor Swift invited because she did the Eras Tour as well. Even though Barbie deserved it because I looked at Barbie and Barbie made $1.4 billion.
Oh yeah, no, I get it. But let's see if it exists, you know, next year.
But if it does, Dune Part 2 will definitely be on there.
And I think it has to be. That's a lot of fucking money.
And it's still making money. It's still out in theaters.
Oh, my God. So we pick up in a similar spot to where we left off in Dune Part 1. The battle... the battle is over, and Paul is trying to unite with the Freemen. Some are so weary, so he tries to gain their trust and acceptance. Lady Jessica, a.k.a. Paul's mother, and her alternate plans make this a bit more challenging than Paul initially thought. While Paul puts in an effort to join forces, he's also on a mission to destroy all those who wronged his family.
Okay, so our main character is Paul Atreides. Also in this part two, he becomes Muad'Dib, which is translation to small desert mouse. And damn it, that small desert mouse is really, really cute. But he's played by Timothée Chalamet. He is a vet on this pod. First of all, when I get into a vets, I'm not talking about Dune Part 1. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. The actors from Dune Part 1 are also in Dune Part 2. Shocking, I know.
Can I say it?
Can you say what?
Can I say where he's a vet from?
Where is he a vet from, Christina?
Beautiful boy.
You know what? I was going on my walk and I saw the set up in Jersey City. And I was like, you know what? If I see Timmy on the street, I'm going to tell him, hey, Timmy, you made me cry with Beautiful Boy. Great acting. Keep it up, pal.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
It was so good. Sobbed my eyes out. Anyway, if you guys haven't watched Beautiful Boy on Amazon Prime, Steve Carell, a young Timothée Chalamet, go watch it and then listen to our podcast. And then you'll want to say good job on acting, Timmy. Okay. His Paul's mom is Jessica, played by Rebecca Ferguson. She's part of the Bene Gesserit. They both join the Freemen. This is led by Stilgar, played by Javier Bardem. Chani, played by Zendaya. We find out that Gurney lives! Gurney is played by Josh Brolin. We meet Emperor Christopher Walken and his daughter, who is also a member of the Bene Gesserit, Princess Erlin? Erlin? I don't know why. Bueller? Bueller? she's played by Florence Pugh, who is also a vet on this podcast. Christina, what is she in?
Don't Worry, Darling.
There you go. And also, fun fact, this is not the first time that Florence Pugh and Timothée Chalamet have acted together. If anyone has watched Little Women, they were both in that. I don't know why my voice cracked. Probably because that's how I felt by the end of that movie. Oh, guess who's also not dead? Baron Harkonnen, played by Stellan Skarsgård. We meet his crazy-ass nephew, Fayad Rutha, played by Austin Butler, who was a vet from...
Elvis.
There you go. Good thing he lost the accent for this movie. the Reverend Mother Moynihan? Whatever. The head Bene Gesserit, she's played by Charlotte Rampling. So, Paul goes south to reunite with his pregnant mama. He drinks the water of life and almost dies. Then Chani fulfills her end of the prophecy. I wrote these notes immediately after watching the movie, and I don't remember what Chani's end of the prophecy is. I just wrote, Chani fulfills her end of the prophecy. Upon drinking the water of life, Paul becomes all-knowing and knows that his mother is the daughter of Baron Harkonnen, which means Paul is technically a Harkonnen as much as he's an Atreides. He declares that he will fulfill his prophecy the Harkonnen way. With the help of the Freeman, they have found his dad, who is, now I can't think of it, he's the Lord Atreides. Paul's found his dad's explosives, and he destroys the Emperor's camp. He holds the Emperor and the higher-ups hostage. He defeats the baby Baron in combat, claims himself Emperor, and agrees to marry Miss Flo. I wrote Miss Flo. If you remember, Don't Worry, Darling, that's what Olivia Wilde called her. Yes. And then Chani's not happy about that. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, I started with, after Paul almost barely defeats, you said it and I heard it and now I can't say it. Fayed?
Call him Baby Baron. He's the Baby Baron Harkonnen.
Okay.
This is a very unserious Dune part. If you came here because we have a great knowledge of the Dune series and we know the lore, you've come to the wrong place.
We know our people.
This is not for the deep divers. We are very unserious about this.
We literally have deep dive in our theme song.
Maybe we deep dive a little bit on, if you want to talk about Taylor Swift and her releasing Tortured Poets Department tomorrow or today when this comes out, please, I will deep dive with the best of them. But Dune and the series, haven't read the books. Can't tell you deep dive. Sorry.
Still dive into the movie.
Okay, we'll dive into the movie, but call him Baby Baron. Baby Baron Harkonnen.
Got it. The Baron is actually killed by cutting off his oxygen supply. You looked at me like that was not right.
No, I forgot that happened. Continue.
Oh yeah. The whole thing that I wrote was that they cut off his oxygen supply, breaking him down into a position where he is no longer able to just move or help himself survive. Paul agrees to marry Princess, yes, mainly for politics, peace, and compromise. Yes, it upsets Chani. However, the most important thing that's happening here is that it's very clear that a holy war has been put into motion, which shows viewers the visuals of flash forwards that Paul was seeing from Dune Part 1.
Yep.
Also, before we move on, this is what I would like to say. I am an idiot.
No, you're not, but please tell us.
Well, I, when in doubt, when you look up a YouTube video and you're unsure, you go to the comments.
Oh, no, you can't go to the comments.
Well, I went to the comments and the second comment says, I haven't seen the original Dune, so I honestly thought this was real. You know what? One God, one Christ. So did I. I also thought this was real. And I was so excited to tell everybody that they reused Christopher Walken.
What are you talking about? Oh, are you talking about the...
It was the video that I was like, I gotta show you this video. He's so great in it. It's not real.
It's a fake.
But it's real. It's very real to me. And also, the first comment says, and I think you and Nick will appreciate this, Dune 2 has Christopher Walken as Christopher Walken in it. I don't agree with that statement.
Okay. We'll hash that out in the highs and lows.
Okay.
Christina has never looked less excited about something in her life.
So IMDb had an 8.7 out of 10, and on Metacritic, the Metascore had a 79, and the user score was an 8.3.
Okay, so on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics gave this a 93%, and the audience gave it a 95%.
High
all across the board. Would you mind if I go?
Go for it.
Okay. I picked a 3 out of 5 star review. So a nice midpoint. There were some, I saw a lot of reviews online giving it 1 stars, like pish posh, how dare they like try to pass this off as sci-fi. And I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. I can't even read these. 3 out of 5 stars. There are new contenders vying for the title of worst aim in cinematic history, and this time it's the Harkonnen soldiers trying to steal the crown from the stormtroopers. Despite their menacing appearance, they seem to have a knack for running away from confrontation and couldn't hit the broadside of a sand dune if their lives depended on it. I don't know why that made me chuckle. It kind of kills the suspense when you can predict the outcome of every skirmish with such certainty, because you know the Harkonnens are all bark, no bite. However, my primary gripe with this movie lies in the portrayal of Zendaya's character, who serves as a major wet blanket throughout. The forced love story feels like a square peg in a round hole, derailing the epic potential of the narrative. Zendaya's character constantly second-guesses Paul and his journey, dragging down the momentum of their incessant doubt and pouting. Oh, with her incessant doubt and pouting, excuse me. Instead of adding depth to the story, she stalls every major scene that could have been exhilarating. To be clear, Zendaya was amazing, but her character was a total buzzkill. While I understand the industry's penchant? Is that how you say that word? Penchant?
Say the whole sentence.
While I understand the industry's penchant. Penchant? Penchant?
P-E-N-S-H-A-N-T?
P-E-N-C-H-A-N-T.
Penchant.
This is going to sound so dumb, and I'm sorry to stop mid-sentence, but I feel like I've said this on the podcast before, and I say it constantly. Superfluous. I thought it was superfluous for so many years.
Danielle, I have a degree. I have a degree in words. And there's so many that I don't know.
So pension.
A master's degree.
And sometimes words are hard.
But I also feel like that gives me power to make up words.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of like the ring of superfluous over superfluous.
I think that's a tomato tomato.
You know what? I think so too.
I think so. It just doesn't roll off the tongue as well as tomato.
No, it doesn't. Okay, so while I understand the industry's penchant for shoehorning love stories into every plot, this particular one feels like a missed opportunity and ultimately undermines the movie's impact. On a positive note, the visual and auditory aspects of this film are top-notch. The stunning visuals and immersive sound design lend an eerie atmosphere that envelops the viewer from start to finish. Despite its flaws, I'm glad to have experienced it once. However, the combination of character missteps and laughable incompetent adversaries make it unlikely that I'll revisit the quote-unquote film anytime soon. Asterisk, I use film in quotes because this production was captured digitally, not on traditional film stock. Which, honestly, such an arrogant thing to throw in. Because it was filmed, captured digitally, and not on traditional film stock. Okay. All right. Go to bed. Go to bed.
Go to bed? I have something on the flip side. This person gave this review a 10 out of 10. And I want to preface this by saying this person is fucking stoked on me. All right?
Does it start with saw, dude?
No. Just wait. It's titled Hard to Put Into Words.
Okay.
As an avid movie fan, I see plenty of movies. Many average, many bad, and a few good, and once in a while great. But I use the word great scarcely. Dune 2 is better than great. Oppenheimer was a great movie, but I wouldn't rush back to see it a second time in the near future. Dune 2, I would see it again tomorrow. The story is on par to the Star Wars legacy, the acting on par with Oppenheimer, the special effects better than two movies just mentioned combined. When the movie finished over 2.5 hours, I still wanted more. The emotional ride was like nothing that I can ever remember any movie ever gave me. Best movie of the year? I don't think so. Best movie of a generation is more akin to what I saw. Wish I could give it 11 stars. I couldn't help but hear that.
I mean, I appreciate the commitment to the character. It was very totally Kyle. It was very Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and I appreciated it.
And also, Rush from Finding Nemo.
Ah, how could I forget?
Mr. Turtle is my father.
You've studied that character for many, many years.
So yeah, that's what I got out of
there. The flip side of it. So I feel like what my reviewer didn't know is like this is a book series. So like obviously the movie is based off of the book. I know Nick had just finished the books when we went to go see this. So
all of them?
Not all of them, but I think he finished book two before he saw this.
Oh.
So
but this is book one.
Or was it book one? I forget what he said. It was so long ago, I forget.
I think the last Dune and this Dune are part one and part two are just book one.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Don't quote me because I just said a fake clip was real. So I shouldn't be the one like relaying the facts this episode. But, you know, that's what I thought.
I forget. I forget what he said. But he had just finished it. So like he was... I feel like while we were watching, he was leaning over. Is like, that didn't happen. It's a little different. Or like the whole car ride home, he was like, it was completely different. I'm like, okay.
That always happens. Okay. Dune Part 2 finishes the first book, inviting comparisons and a sequel.
Okay. There you go. That's the answer. So to get into highs and lows, the first high that I had was... So Christine and I went to go see this together. Shortly, I think it was opening weekend. Didn't we not see this on like the Sunday of the opening weekend?
I think so. This was we broke our rule. So this was the first time I think that we went to the movies and together and watched a movie.
And we
should have started with that.
We invited the husbands because they both watched or they both read the books. Did Dave read the books?
Dave started reading the books.
Gotcha. So
my computer just froze for a second.
You're fine. We heard everything. Did everyone hear Christina? Yeah, they said they heard it.
Great. Excellent. Carry on. Your high that you're going to start with?
We invited the husbands to come with us, but... My first high was seeing this in IMAX. Like, seeing this sitting on your couch is cool, but seeing it in IMAX was, like, a completely different experience.
Feeling your chair vibrate when a worm is coming?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Also, I had a very different understanding of IMAX because I remember when I was a Girl Scout, we went to, I don't even remember where the fuck it was, but I was in an IMAX theater and the screen was like all around me. It was like on the ceiling. It was all the way to my left and all the way to my right. So whenever I hear like IMAX, I always think of like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange, or is this like the new IMAX?
No, because weren't we talking about this? Because then I brought up the Sphere in Las Vegas, and I won't go into my full tirade, but the bullet points are, I think we flew too close to the sun with the Sphere. I have zero desire to go there. It's cool, but it's stupid.
People get sick.
I don't understand it. Anyway, shouldn't it be?
I remember watching like a documentary about wolves, and that was really fucking cool in that IMAX theater because there was like a wolf here, and then there was like a wolf almost behind me because the screen was like all around me.
I think my attention would just be like too all over the place.
Danielle, what do you think my ADD ass did for 2 hours?
Anyway, that being said, I think that this was perfect. Just one screen, and like the way that it was set up, we had like a wall in front of us too, so you really just felt like there was no one else there besides, you know, people sitting next to you, and you could really immerse yourself in the film. And it was, movie. I use film in quotations because it was digitally captured and not on stock film.
You guys picked good seats. That was the other thing. We had our seats reserved.
Yeah. That's par for the course now with movies.
Oh.
Yeah, you have to like pick your seats before.
Before that, I haven't been to the movies since pre-pandemic, like 2018.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I loved seeing this in IMAX. I loved how realistic the movie felt.
Yeah.
That was like my first comment on it because it was the same in Dune Part 1, but you don't get the same like action-packed scenes in Dune Part 1 as you do with Dune Part 2.
There's a lot of lore that had to be discussed in Part 1. And I mean, it's just so difficult to keep up. And, you know, a lot of the things that I heard about Part 1 was like, oh, nothing happens. It's so slow. It's so this, it's so that. And it's like, oh, no. You need all of this because then when you get to doing Part 2, you have no idea what the fuck is going on if you didn't get all that information.
You wouldn't understand the worm riding if you didn't watch during Dune Part 1. Dern part two, Bert Warren. Oh, God.
That's the parenthesis. Dune part two, Dern part two.
Dern part Warren. The worm riding was awesome.
You wouldn't know what a worm was if you didn't watch Part 1. Because they don't look like traditional worms.
No, they don't. But what was so cool about the special effects is, like, even something like that, which you would think would look fake, it looked so real. The director did a fantastic job.
We've come a long way.
We have. And then I had to write this note... once you got into like the real climax where Paul was like fulfilling his prophecy, becoming emperor, like taking over, when he called out like the head honcho Bene Gesserit, and he used that like voice, which you see him trying to get in the first Dune Part 1, and then you see him like fully use it in Dune Part 2. Oh, it was so great.
Mm-hmm. I heard mixed reviews about Austin Butler's performance, but for me, it's going to be a high. And I really think that this role was good for him because I think he needed something this drastic to break the curse of Elvis.
Yeah, he really immersed himself in the role of Elvis. He couldn't stop speaking like Elvis. And I feel like he did a really great job of not speaking like Elvis in this.
But not only not speaking, like the mannerisms were gone, the way that he walked was gone, like all of that stuff kind of like... disappeared. But I think that like it's because this character that he's playing here is just so different.
Yeah.
It's kind of like he needed to really tap into playing this villain.
Mm-hmm. Also, how good was that scene where they're I forget where the Harkonnens are, but when he's like in that big stadium and it's all just like black and white and he's just like, it's, I think it was his birthday, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yes, I think so. I think that's right.
But that was such a cool scene.
I also, I mean, I feel like I always say that the acting with these like bigger movies is good. So like, I feel like that's not really, but for me, really, it was Jess and Chani. Those two roles really, like, I thought the acting was really good. I called her Jess, Lady Jessica. She's Jess now.
Yeah, sorry. She's Jess, Jessie.
I don't really know if this is a low for me. I don't really know. But I don't, for now, I don't really have them, but I'm interested to see how they're going to connect, like, the third one, you know? Like, yeah. I never really know what direction they're going to go in, so I don't have any yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is just random information that I wanted to share, and it just seems to fit in this section because I thought it was interesting, so I guess it ties for me.
Yeah.
So Christopher Walken, and I have this as a clip, was unsure of how to play like a king. He's like, I'm a guy from Queens. Like, how, what am I supposed to be doing here?
Yeah.
And so they basically told him, like, it's okay. You'll be seen as a king no matter what. I'm paraphrasing. Because those around you, you're going to be a king because of the way that people treat you. And those around you will be treating you like a king. Mm-hmm. So you try to act like a king, but the people around you will kind of, like, complete that ensemble.
Yeah.
So, like, looking back, I think it's really cool that those scenes kind of came together. It was like very much a group effort. Like, it wasn't just him. It was every single person in that shot that treated him like a king that kind of made those scenes come to life.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that I have is, I know they're not together, but they should be in real life. Timothy Chalamet and Florence Pugh.
Oh, I thought you were going to send Zendaya. Or I thought you were going to say Zendaya. Zendaya's with Tom Holland, and that's a cute couple that we must protect.
Are they still together?
Yeah, they are. They were just at the U.S. Open together. Come on.
No, it's because I found out that they were, not, like, obviously they're not on camera a lot together, but they were not allowed to hang out together behind camera, another video I can share. Because apparently they were just like two big goofballs on set.
Mm-hmm.
They were just like joking around, like making jokes and like making shenanigans. And they were like, these people can't be together. We're never going to get anything done.
You should watch Little Women.
I will. We have had that on our list forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we can watch it on for the podcast, but also like if you want to see Timothy Chalamet and Florence Pugh interact with one another, Little Women's the way to go. I actually think Timothy Chalamet's with Kylie Jenner still, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know who Florence Pugh is with.
I don't care about that.
I know. I don't care about that either. my low, I felt like there are two very distinct parts of this movie. There's Paul befriending the Freeman, and then there's Paul throwing that aside and doing his, like, duty that his mom wants him to do.
Almost like using them. Or about to use them.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like it's a very harsh switch in this movie. And I guess I think the only place I can put it is a low. I wish that it was more of like a gradual thing, but it's also like how long do you want this movie to be? But it just feels like a very, very harsh switch. Or maybe it has to be a harsh, I cannot say the word harsh switch. Maybe it has to be a harsh switch in order for like Paul to actually do it. Like he knows that he has to do it, so he's just like, wakes up and like, all right, let's, this is how it's got to be.
I don't know if this is it, but for me, that harsh switch came in like after he drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. I mean, he was putting off for so long to go down to see his mother in the South. Yeah. Yep. As soon as he did that, that was him fulfilling his prophecy, becoming Lisan al-Ghaib. And yeah, that's where he's at right now. And now he has to be emperor. Yeah. This was a point that both Christine and I brought up to each other, and we're going to throw it into the lows. How the hell did they get off the worms?
I don't understand.
How did they dismount the worms? We see them get on the worms. We see them ride the worms. How the hell did they get off?
You know what? Let's do this. That's not an official low unless we actually see it in the third one.
If we see them get off the worm in a very seamless way, we'll be fine.
Like, maybe they're piecemealing it to us. They introduce us to the worms. They rode the worm. They mounted the worms. Maybe in the third one, they will dismount from the worms. The fourth one, they have the worm for dinner.
I don't think they're going to do that, because I think in the Nick, if I remember correctly, Nick said like they're kind of worshipped as gods. So I don't think they're going to eat the worms.
No, I meant like have it over for dinner.
Oh, okay. And then have a cup of coffee and they can sit down and have a conversation about, oh, how did we, yeah, how do we get off the worms?
That's the fifth one. And then get more and more from the worms.
Just because you brought it up earlier, I'll talk about it very quickly. The comment that Nick made, and I tend to agree with him, is it's tough to have Christopher Walken in the role as emperor because he is Christopher Walken. And when you hear him talk, it's not like he's not going to talk like Christopher Walken. He'll hit a line like, oh, and then you're like, then you get out of the movie and you're like, oh my God, it's Christopher. Like,
it was so small though.
But like, you still heard it. You still heard it.
It was one line. I can't even remember what line it was.
I can't remember, but he hit the O, and you're like, ah, all right.
It was like, oh, I'll find it. I will find it, because it was like so small. Somebody said something, like a word, and then he said the word back. It was like blind, and he was like, blind?
Exactly.
I was like, there's my boy. That's my Chris.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It's not necessarily a low, but it's just like, if it was someone else that they cast for that role, you wouldn't be thinking like, oh, there's Brian Cox playing, oh, it's Logan Roy playing the Emperor. But like for him, his voice is so distinct that it's hard to not be like, oh, it's Christopher Walken, and not to be like, oh, that's the Emperor. You know what I'm saying? She just did a deep sigh, didn't it?
I don't know. I know, but I don't know.
Okay. She knows, but she doesn't want to hear it.
Because I still think that even though you can hear his voice, I still think he's a good actor.
I agree with that. I'm not denying that.
Well, it's kind of almost like a little bit of a denial, because it's like it sounds like it's one of those things where it's hard to separate him. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what it sounds like.
That is exactly it. It is hard to separate him. But the same,
I think that he has a better range than a lot of actors who end up playing the same voice, like in everything.
See, that's, you know how we were making comments about Austin Butler, where if he showed up in this and he had the Elvis voice, it would have taken us out of the movie?
Yeah.
Kind of the same with Christopher Walken.
Okay, I think the Elvis voice would have been a lot more dramatic, though, but okay. Oh,
yeah, I do agree, but it's very, I mean, I feel like it's the same.
Okay.
That's all we have to say about that.
I don't...
We'll agree to disagree.
I don't really know who else could have played that, though.
Brian Cox.
Oh. Maybe.
Donald Sutherland.
Yeah. No, that's typecasted, because he basically played something similar in The Hunger Games.
True. Tom Selleck. Oh, did he just die?
He did?
Did he die? Hold on. Now, am I starting rumors?
OJ died.
Okay, we weren't going to put OJ in this role. Tom.
No. I don't know if you were confusing with who died recently. I just figured I'd start naming.
Tom Selleck is not dead, everyone.
Don't do that.
No. He's not dead. Tom Selleck. I could see Tom Selleck in that role.
Okay. All right. I'll bite.
You'll bite? Yep. Okay. All right. What was the snack break while we were watching this?
Well, I didn't. All right. You had your giant bowl of popcorn.
Oh, hell yeah, I did. You think I'm going to the movies and not getting popcorn? You crazy.
I will piggyback off of that. But I would like to use this segment of our podcast to make a PSA.
Okay.
And it's that movie theaters should serve coffee always. And I'm onto something here. You're putting people, first of all, you have midnight releases. You're putting people in a dark room for hours upon hours. They need to stay awake. You should always have coffee.
Is this because you went to go get a coffee and they didn't have it?
Yeah. You remember that. I was like, I'm going to get coffee. And you're like, I don't think they're going to have it. I'm like, it's a movie theater. They have to have coffee. And then they didn't have fucking coffee.
You know what it is? It's the soda conglomerates who are like, you can't have another caffeinated beverage in here.
My ass, you can't have another caffeinated beverage. What if I want a hot caffeinated beverage? Am I supposed to throw it in the microwave?
Yeah, get Dunkin' in there. Dunkin' should make a partner with AMC.
That's it.
What was the expectation?
All right, so since this is part two of the same story, aka the book, I was thinking that this was going to be another lore heavy movie. Like, I just thought there was so much lore that they had to split it into two. Mm-hmm. But I definitely feel like this one was not as much, and it had a lot more action than the first one, which at the end, I don't know if I should say it. Well, listen, honestly, Franz, if you're listening to Dune Part 2, you've obviously watched the first one, so yeah. I'm going to say something that happens at the end of the first one, which is like you have all this buildup, and then there's that one scene at the end that is that like pretty epic fight scene, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it for the action, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's like the Harkonnens basically, well, not, yeah, yeah, it's, the Atreides family is basically wiped out, and they try to kill Jessica and Paul, but they get away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but, like, at the end, when he proves himself, and then they pick up with that, with Dune Part 2,
mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah.
But this put a lot more action in it, so I was wrong. My expectation was not correct.
I agree. I went into with similar expectations. I had rewatched Dune Part 1. And I remember when we recorded the podcast for it, I was like, wow, I really liked it. Then I went back and rewatched it before I went to go see this. And it was like, ooh, do I actually like this series? Because it was just like so much world building. I think it was just a lot of world building, a lot of lore that they had to get through, and not a lot of action. When I went to go sit down and watch this, it blew my expectations out of the water. It was so good, so action-packed, and I'm not necessarily a big action person, but it just like kept you on the edge of your seat. You really did just get engrossed in the film, movie, and it was great.
You don't stop. You don't have to do this. I agree. I think that's a great point. I feel like we're saying the same thing two different ways, but
yeah.
I think it's valid. Like, and I'm really excited to see where Dune 3 is going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see that happening for some time.
Oh, probably quite a few years.
Zendaya and Timmy and Florence, they got stuff on their to-do list. They're filming movies. They're out there filming movies right now. So they got stuff to do. It's probably going to take some time for Dune Part 3. I would say probably it's 2024. I would say at least like 26.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. They got to film it. They got to edit it. Say 26, maybe 27. We'll see. They may push it up for 26. Definitely not next year.
No way. I'd be shocked.
I would be shocked too.
Did you have an IRL moment?
I didn't have an IRL moment.
I just wrote, there are many times that I would like to tell someone silence and have the shivering effect of Paul and Jessica.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't think that I do.
I don't. No, I don't have it either.
Not quite?
No.
I'll work on it.
Okay.
If I come over and my eyes are bright blue, I'm close.
Oh, gosh. I'm leaving you outside. I've watched all of Game of Thrones. I've seen White Walkers before. I'm not dealing with that.
These guys are not White Walkers, Dan.
They've, I know, had, I'm the joking.
They're Kool-Aid or whatever the fuck it is. You know what it is.
The spice.
The what?
The spice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said tears. I don't know why I said tears. Okay. Well, me and my wrong facts are done.
Is it done?
I think, and that's it. And that we covered everything.
We did it all.
So thank you all very much for listening. Next week is my birthday episode, where Danielle and I are finally going to talk about The Big Lebowski. And I'm so excited. I'm going to wear my shirt. This is the food to buy it, so I'm going to wear my shirt.
Okay. I would
do that for the next time we record. If you'd like to write in a review about The Big Lebowski or your favorite moments, you can DM us on Instagram and Twitter at Hey It's Two Girls. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Classic Cena. Danielle's on Instagram at Danielle Kobianki. You can also email us. We'll take suggestions for May.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got them.
We're kind of open for May, I feel.
And June is going to be Directors Month. So if you have suggestions for directors, we could also do that too. Otherwise, you're just stuck with what Danielle and I choose. Send us those things at twogirlswatchtv@gmail.com, twospelled.two, and the YouTube channel is Two Girls Drink Beer.
All right, everyone, enjoy the rest of your weekends, and we'll catch you next week. Bye. Bye.
What's up?